Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, novelist and blogger, Ruth Clark. So, I'm intrigued by your cast of characters, Ruth. A corpse, a ghost, an artist, two drug dealers, and a green parrot. Where did they all come from?
I really don't know. They appeared. I dream a lot. I'm a schemer, and I wonder if this would work. And I like puzzles, and they just sort of appeared. I don't know.
Well, and all together, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Tell us a little about them, if you can do so without giving away too much.
Yeah. Throughout the book, Isabella, the ghost, is written in italics, and she really wants to forgive Marco. She knew it wasn't his fault. She'd slipped on some water and cracked her head, and that was what happened.
Did she fall into the well then?
No, he put her in the well because he was afraid, and then he ran. He rode north. Uh-huh. Yeah, so she appears. I mean, he becomes religious, and once he knows that not only did his wife die, but she was 2 months pregnant, and they'd been trying to have babies, and so he starts going to church, and Isabella is there and pushes him into a pretty young woman. So they bump, and this woman is, I shouldn't tell you all this, but anyway, this woman has had spousal abuse, and she's scarred on her arm, and Marco notices it. And throughout the drug dealing and all of the money they make, he decides that's what he's going to do. He's going to create a situation where abused women can gather in a house. With his ill-gotten gains, he buys a house for them. So, yeah, it's quite convoluted, Felicity, but it works, I think.
Well, it certainly makes one want to know what happens next.
Yes.
What kind of novel is What Comes Around? How would you describe it?
What Goes Around.
What Goes Around?
I would call it a modern-day Robin Hood. There are other ghosts in the story, and one of them is the ghost of the head servant of William Walker. And he sort of cheers on the boys with their thievery in the banks, and they ultimately give his descendants some of the spoils from robbing a bank. So you're totally confused, aren't you, Felicity?
I have to be able to look at it, Ruth. So when's it going to be released?
September 20th.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Yeah, and I've alerted Let's Talk Books.
Okay, so now you've got this, I mean, you're waiting, but that's not an occupation to take up every minute of your time. What are you working on?
I'm working on something that has been in my life for too long. It could turn into a historical novel, but it's called Honoring King Neptune, and it's about a guitarist in the 60s in Toronto at the Riverboat, and he falls down the stairs at Embassy Tavern. Did we talk about this before?
We did indeed.
It was called it was called Final Performance then, and then...
Right. All these short stories you write, they turn into inspiration for your novels, huh?
They do.
And they have all this time to sort of sink
gestate.
In and for you to get very convoluted about them. I can see that has possibilities.
Yes.
It's going to turn into a historical novel.
If it isn't published soon.
Oh, I Lucy. Oh, dear. Well, in the meantime, how about reading some more of what goes around?
Okay. We will continue at Tio Vincente's. His uncle might be devout, but he still enjoyed a drink. One evening, they had two bottles of wine with dinner, and then Tio pulled out a bottle of brandy from the sideboard. They leaned back in their chairs, cradling crystal snifters, reminiscing about their family. Tio was talking about his wife. "I'm certain I killed her, Marco," he said, swirling the cognac, looking into the glass for some kind of confirmation. "How so, Tio?" Marco stuttered and gulped. "From the work I was doing when I was smuggling. Sonia thought it was dangerous work, and I guess it was, but I was sharp. It was early days, and the police weren't as wise as they are now. They didn't have many boats in the water, so I felt fairly safe. I didn't realize how much she worried Marco. I think the anxiety she had over what I was doing strained her heart and took her away from me." He sighed and raised the snifter to his lips. "I pray every day that she forgives me." Marco looked away from his uncle to see Isabella standing in the doorway, the parrot perched on her shoulder. He blinked. She was gone. He shook his head, not able to discern what was real and what wasn't. "What's the matter, son? You look like you've seen a ghost. I haven't upset you with this talk, have I?" Vincente leaned forward, put his hand on Marco's shoulder. "No, no, Tio." Marco looked for the words. "You're right, though. I did just see a ghost, my wife." With that utterance, Marco folded in a heap on the table, his shoulders trembling with sobs that racked his body. Vincente stood and placed both of his hands on Marco's shoulders and mumbled some words that Marco didn't understand, but that felt soothing, like the calming effects of a lullaby. When he'd stopped crying, he wiped his eyes and told his uncle what had happened, showed him the gash on his head, told him why he was running. When he had finished, Tio was stroking his long white mustache and looking off in the middle distance. "It was a shock for me to hear that there are some women who abuse their men. We always think it's the other way around. But I've learned that both genders share this unharnessed anger. And though it is manifest for many of the same reasons, the abuse varies. A couple of my buddies used to come to work with black eyes and scratches on their arms. Didn't think much about it. Kidded them about barroom brawls." Vincente leaned forward and gripped his crystal goblet with his hands. "It wasn't until one guy got his neck slashed with a machete when he claimed that his wife did it, the others admitted that their wives were rough with them too." He tossed the last of his brandy back and reached for the bottle. "Other men are belittled, criticized, admonished for failing to provide for their families. That's abuse too." As he poured, he continued, "There are many kinds of abuse, Marco, and some women wield their brand of it like swords, silent but deadly." He swirled his brandy, took a small sip. "Physical scars heal and all but disappear. But when the heart is scarred, the memory is always with you. Better to be beaten and suffer the blows than to be emotionally brutalized with hateful, degrading slashes to your character. That's hard to come back from."
Thank you, Ruth. Many thanks for telling us about what goes round. So, can readers buy your previous books somewhere?
Only from me, unless I get out to the bookstores. It's very difficult being away half the year, and I can't ship from there. So I'm so glad to have a Nana and a good sales force with this book.
Well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's going to be exciting.
Yes.
So, it will be. It is on Amazon already, but with the note that you have to wait for it.
Oh, good. Thank you for checking. Great.
So, to connect with us, send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs, to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.